see the world your way, and I'm not afraid to follow. I see the world your way, and I'm not ashamed to say so. I see the Jesus way, and I'm walking in the light.
God's blessings and welcome to Walking in Faith. We are in the fifth week of Lent, and this week we proclaim, by your help we beseech you, Lord our God. May we walk eagerly in that same charity with which, out of love for the world, your Son handed himself over to death, through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Coming up in our show this week, we speak with Father Raphael from the National Shrine of Our Lady of Częstochowa. There is a new Encounter School of Prophetic Ministry that is coming to the shrine next fall. There's going to be information sessions next Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. And he's here to tell about this wonderful ministry and how you can become part of it. We'll also be speaking with Father Joseph Fessio, here to talk about a new book on Pope Benedict's homilies on love. A great book you'll want to stay tuned to hear about. And then we'll hear a sermon from the National Shrine of Our Lady of Częstochowa on Christ, Light of the World. So stay tuned, you'll want to hear all that. But we'll start with prayer. Entrusting ourselves to the life-giving power of God, we voice our prayers to the Father, asking for those preparing to be received into the Church this Easter, and that will keep them close to Christ. We pray for those in civil governance that they will dedicate themselves to justice, peace, authentic freedom, and the generous defense of the poor. We pray that all of our parishes will grow in holiness so that we will always love one another with perfect charity. We pray that God will cleanse the world of all errors, banish disease, comfort those who mourn, loosen fetters, grant safety to travelers, health to the sick, and salvation to the dying. We also pray for the repose of the souls of all the faithfully departed. May the hour of their entrance into eternal rest come quickly. We also pray for the grace this week to be ambassadors of Christ to the world. Most merciful Father, forgive our evil doing and remember our sin no more. Prepare our hearts for the passion, death, and resurrection of your Son through Christ our Lord. Amen. Well, stay tuned. We'll be right back with Father Raphael talking about the Encounter School of Ministry coming next week to the National Shrine of Our Lady of Częstochowa. Welcome back. Joining us right now is Father Raphael. He's here to talk about a new prophetic ministry school that's going to be starting at the National Shrine of Our Lady of Częstochowa, March 25th, right, Father?
Yes, that's correct.
Tell us a little bit, Father, about what this is and how people might be inclined to come.
The prophetic ministry, which is going to be taking place here at the shrine, is a part of Encounter School of Ministries, which is located. The main office of the Encounter Ministries is located in Brighton, Michigan, and it was founded by two friends, Father Matthias Thalen, who is a pastor of St. Patrick's in Brighton, Michigan, and a layperson, Patrick Rice, who at that time was a youth minister in Columbus, Ohio. And they were very hungry for more of God in their lives. And they decided at some point, it was not too far ago, it was like 2015 or 2016, when they got the prophecy that they will be like making new disciples. They will teach people how to spread the word of God, the name of Jesus throughout the world. And part of their ministry is a school. So they opened a school there in Brighton, Michigan. And then later they opened three more campuses. And now they are in process of opening another 16 or 17 campuses of Encounter School of Ministries throughout the world, because there will be a new campus in Australia, in Ireland, in Canada and Dominican Republic as well. And here at the Shrine, there will be one of the new campuses. The School of Prophetic Ministry is like a preparation for opening the school here at the Shrine. And we couldn't open the school without the approval of Archbishop Perez. And it was a great joy that he approved the school, the opening of the campus here at the Shrine last August. And the funny thing was that I have received the welcoming letter from him exactly on the day of the feast day of Our Lady of Częstochowa.
Oh, gee.
So for me, it was a great sign that not even Jesus, not even the Holy Spirit, but Blessed Virgin Mary would like to have the campus of Encounter School of Ministries here at the Shrine.
Yeah, I was going to ask Father, what does it entail? Like, how long is the school?
It's a 2-year school. It's a 2-year program, and the program is divided for 8 semesters. And each semester is dedicated to a different part of ministry. For example, the first year of the school is divided for the first semester is about the identity as the child of God. The second quarter is dedicated to healing prayer. Excuse me. The third one is dedicated to the prophetic ministry, and the fourth one is about the inner healing of our memories. It's a really, really powerful thing, because as a future director of the campus, I had to take the school as well. So I am now a student of the first year of the school, and I can say that I see a lot of changes in my spiritual life. I see the most beautiful changes it brings me into a deeper relationship with Jesus. And if we are talking about the prophetic school, prophetic ministry, I can even say that it's really helpful for me when I hear confessions. Sometimes when people are confessing their sins, doesn't matter what kind of sin is it, I hear like inner voice, ask this, say that, say this thing, give this penance. It's amazing. It's amazing thing, really helpful thing for me.
Wow.
in my ministry. If I have to say more about the School of Prophetic Ministry, which is going to take place here at the Shrine, it's a 3-day school that provides the foundations for everyone to be equipped to hear God's voice more clearly for ourselves, and I would even say that for the world around us. It's gonna happen through training and activation of the prophetic gifts of the Holy Spirit, and the entire school, Encounter School, and the Prophetic Ministry School is based on the curriculum of the Encounter School of Ministry, which was prepared. The curriculum was prepared by Mary Healy, who is the member of the Pontifical Biblical Commission in Vatican, and she is a professor of theology at Sacred Heart Major Seminary in Detroit. And she is the Encounter School curriculum advisor. And also the curriculum was recognized very positively by a number of theologians from here, from America. And also it is under review of the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops. And it's very so far it's very positive review from the bishops. So it's based on Catholic tradition, and what can I say more? There is one young woman here at the shrine in my prayer group, who like 1 month ago was saying nonstop, "I didn't get anything. I didn't get any word for anyone." Since then, I can say this girl is on fire. she was like empowered by the Holy Spirit in the prophetic ministry. And anytime she prays for people, she prays for other people, she always gets some words, she always gets some images, some encouraging words, encouraging images, encouraging Bible verses. It's life-changing thing. It's life-changing school, it's life-changing ministry. So if anyone would like to join us, we'll be more than happy to receive as many as possible people. So we start on Thursday, March 25th at 6:30 p.m. And then we continue all the day on Friday and all the day on Saturday.
So it's a three-day sort of weekend, but then you're saying it's a two-year program. So this is just sort of an introductory session to see?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's an introductory session because as I found out, the Encounter Ministries in general, it's not like well known here in this area.
Yeah.
So it's a good thing to bring the ministry and make it better known here in the Greater Philadelphia area. We have registered like 100 people for the prophetic school. It's a good number.
Yes.
It's a great number. Even though I asked God for like at least 300, but I'll be even satisfied with this 100 people. So I would love to introduce the Encounter Ministries to Archdiocese of Philadelphia and to other dioceses around us. As so far, I know that people are coming even from Kentucky. So it's a good thing for us as well as for the shrine.
Yeah, and after the 3 days, Father, what would then happen if you wanted to continue? Are you going to then start the first course, or how does it roll out after the three-day sort of introduction?
During the month of August, here at the shrine, we'll have another event. It's a 4 days event, actually 4 evenings, Monday through Thursday, which is called Summer Intensive.
Okay.
Summer Intensive, it's like the introduction to the first year of the Encounter School of Ministries.
Mm-hmm.
Like introduction to the two-year program. And every evening is dedicated to like another quarter of the first year of the school. So for the first evening of the Summer Intensive, will be about the identity as a child of God. The other evening about the healing prayer, Wednesday, because that's Monday through Thursday, so Wednesday will be about the prophetic ministry, and Thursday it's about the inner healing ministry. And then on third Monday of September, we'll begin the like regular school. The classes will take place once a week on Mondays at 6 p.m. For like 3 hours. There will be like two sessions of teaching, some time for praise and worship, and also some time for testimonies, if people would like to share what's happening in their life, what Holy Spirit is actually doing in their life. There will be a chance, there will be a time to testify the goodness of
yeah.
the Lord.
Yeah. So, Father, why do you think this is being needed so badly right now? Is there something that you think we need to be doing more actively as lay people in the church, that we could be bringing about more peace of mind to people, or bringing them closer to God, or even in our own lives? What do you think the impetus behind all this is right now?
I think we should begin with the Vatican Council. That the documents of the Vatican Council invites lay people to be more involved in the to the ministry in the Catholic Church, and you know, before I came to America several years ago, I didn't see too many lay people involved in any ministry, because in my country, in Poland, at that time there were still enough of priests to do anything, to teach the CCD program, to do some youth ministries, young adults ministries, any ministry. We had enough priests. And after I came to America, I found out that church here looks much different, that there are not enough priests, that more lay people have to be involved in ministry. So Encounter School of Ministry gives the chance to be like empowered, to be equipped in doing the ministry, in bringing the good news, the name of Jesus to all the corners of the world. And especially today, when we don't really know what's going to happen tomorrow, because, for example, the crazy situation with the COVID stuff, and when so many people struggle with fear, it's a great opportunity to minister. Because, for example, fear is not from God. Fear is given to us by our enemy. And we have the authority, authority of the name of Jesus, to destroy any evil works in our lives. So that's another thing which the Encounter School of Ministry teaches, how to do it effectively in our lives and lives of others. And also the other thing is the book of Acts of the Apostles. The ministry of apostles is not finished. We are the new apostles, and we can just bring everything what was happening like 2,000 years ago to this world, to today's world. And for example, Jesus is still healing people from many different illnesses, sicknesses, and difficulties. God is still on move. Holy Spirit is still on move. And the only thing is just to start to use it, to start to use the authority of the name of Jesus, which we have by the sacrament of baptism, by the sacrament of confirmation. This is what I try to do here at the Shrine, what I try to teach people, that everyone can pray for healing, not just to pray for, you know, like, for, okay, I will pray for you to strengthen, may the God strengthen you in your time of sickness. No, by the power of the name of Jesus, I speak to you, any kind of sickness, be healed. And people get healed, for example, here at the Shrine. We have already so many testimonies of healing from different illnesses. We have testimonies of healing from cancer. We have testimonies of healing of nerves, which were dead for a couple of years. People, the person couldn't walk. The only chance to walk was by using a cane. And the cane is now at one of the walls in the lower church, here at the Shrine. And the person even can do even hiking right now without any problem. there was a wonderful, beautiful healing of young 13-year-old girl who got some problem with her foot because she played basketball, and she was experiencing a huge pain every day for almost 1 year. And after a very simple prayer, she got healed. She got back to the court. She's playing basketball again. Many different healings, physical healings, inner healings. So yeah, God is still doing miracles, and we just need to use His power, because we are empowered by the sacrament, and He would love us. He would love to see us just using the authority of His name, of the sacrament, in our lives, in lives of others.
Mm. That's very powerful, Father. And one of the things that you mentioned is one of the first things that you learn under this school is the child of God, which sounds to me very much like the little flower, St. Therese of Lisieux, and understanding the importance of the love of God, our Father. And we, you know, through Jesus Christ, are His children. Talk a little bit about what that teaches us in a culture where many people don't have families or aren't experiencing the love of a natural father.
Oh yeah, you touched a very, very big problem, the natural father. I think that today we experience like a crisis of fatherhood. Many people do not even know what does it mean to have a father, because they grew up in broken families. But identity as a child of God is our Father. We say it every day, and I think that when we say the prayer, our Father, and God the Father wants to share with us everything He has. And the question is, what He has? He has the best. He has the best things for us. He has joy. He has peace. Mostly He has love for us. He loves us so badly. I say that God is even crazy with us, because anytime we look at the cross, we see Jesus with open arms there. So He's waiting all the times. And I believe that Jesus is saying to every one of us from the cross, hey, come to me. Come to the foot of the cross and tell me what's wrong. Tell me, and I can help you. I can help you, but just let me know. And it's also like, you know, the relationship. For example, young people, like teenagers, when they fall in love with someone else, they would love to spend as much time as possible together, to talk to each other, to listen to each other. And that's the same thing what Jesus expects from us. He wants to spend with us as much time as possible on talking, on listening, and sharing with us gifts, talents. He wants to satisfy us. And because of our experience with our like biological fathers, earthly fathers, it is very often it's hard to believe that God the Father wants to share the best with us. But that's really true. That the Father, God the Father, wants to share the best. And the best things He can share with us, as I said, is His love, is His presence in our life, is His safety. So I think that's the basic, basic thing of our relationship with God. Yeah. Of our faith, I would even say. Therefore, the quarter dedicated to identity as a child of God is the very first quarter of the teaching in the Encounter School of Ministries. And also during the School of Prophetic Ministry here at the Shrine next week, the first teaching of the weekend will be about identity.
Mm.
That's like a base for any other teaching.
Yeah, and the trust that we can have in our own Father and in so many ways in our lives, if we can trust that we have a loving Father who is all powerful and, as you say, is able to heal and able to give us wisdom in situations, we don't have to do this on our own. That's wonderful. And I'm going to then segue this into, if we can exhibit this in our lives, what a great tool of evangelization this will be for people who have no hope or people who are not certain about what to do in certain situations. When they see us modeling this confidence and trust, how important is this as a tool of evangelization?
Oh, yeah, it is. It is, because even I see it in myself, in my ministry, in ministry of others, that after we start to believe that God really wants the best for us, we are able to share His love, even when we go to some coffee store, coffee shop, when we go to pharmacy. I see people healing over other people at CVS, coffee shops, and to share, they are sharing the love of God with those people. So it's also about boldness, that with God, we can do really anything. We can do really anything, and there is so much. I say that there is so much fun when we like enter into a deeper relationship with God. When we go to the adventure with God, there is so much fun, and there is probably nothing more joyful than seeing people like crying, joyfully crying, when they receive some message from God. If you can share with them God's love. And it's powerful. Like a couple of weeks ago, I had a chance to deliver a message to someone that was like middle-aged woman. And God highlighted me her in my prayer. So I shared what I believe God told me to share, and he asked me to share with this woman, and that was such a joyful moment for her, because she looked very sad, and God wanted to destroy the sadness and change it into a happiness. So the message which I delivered to her, which I believe that was a message from God, changed her immediately. Her face was immediately changed. There was no more sadness. There was just a joy and happiness on the face. And that was a happiness for me, that because of my ministry, because of my words, something was positively changed in the life of this woman.
Father, let's tell our listeners how they can sign up for this event, which is happening next Thursday, Friday, and Saturday at the National Shrine of Our Lady of Częstochowa. How can they enroll if they want to participate next week?
As for now, the only chance to register is to go to the website of Encounter Ministries .us, and there in the calendar to click on the one of the dates, March 25th, 27th, and the registration form will be open. To register online, or there will be a chance to register at the door on Thursday evening or Friday morning.
Perfect.
So, as I said, the website to the address of the website is encounterministries.us, and then just click the events calendar, one of the days, 25th, 27th of March.
Father, we should mention too that who's going to be there next week, right?
Oh yeah, there will be three leaders of the Encounter Ministries. One of them is Ryan Maley. He's a director of all the campuses of the Encounter Ministries, or of the school of Encounter Ministries. He's also a director of the campus in Cincinnati, Ohio. So Ryan Maley is coming. Also, another person who is coming is Daniel Rodriguez, who is also from the campus in Cincinnati. He's assistant of Ryan. And the third person coming is Sean Breeden, who is a director of events of the Encounter Ministries. So these three guys and myself, we are leading the weekend of the prophetic school. And I can't wait. I am so excited already. I can't wait for yes. that, because I got the sense, I have a feeling, and I believe that God has prepared a huge, beautiful things which are gonna happen here at the Shrine next weekend.
Is Mass built into this, Father, on Saturday or any of those days?
Friday? Yeah, there will be Mass afternoon on Friday included to the program, and also there will be Mass on Saturday, probably at 5 p.m., which will be actually the vigil Mass for Sunday.
Okay, perfect. Father, before we let you go, we have to ask you to leave us with your priestly blessing.
Okay. So, Lord Jesus, I bless you, Jesus, and I praise you. And I want you, Jesus, to lay your hands upon everyone who is listening to these words. Fill all those people with your love. Fill their hearts with your love, with your joy, with your peace, and power them. Share with them your holy boldness. And I ask you, Jesus, for all these things by the authority of the priesthood. And I bless all those people in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you so much.
And we'll be back right after the station identification. You are listening to Holy Spirit Radio, 1570 AM in Doylestown and 1420 AM in Coatesville and Chester County.
We would understand. You are the rock of salvation, the only foundation.
Welcome back. Joining us right now is Father Joseph Fessio, the founder of Ignatius Press, here to talk about a new book put out on the writings of Joseph Ratzinger on love. Welcome, Father.
Thank you, Barbara. Good to be here.
I just miss reading the writings of Pope Benedict, so I'm so glad that this volume is out. These are previously unpublished writings, correct?
That's correct.
Talk a little bit about the theme and why you decide to put it into a book.
Actually, we did not make a decision on this. There's a wonderful Spanish priest, I believe. He's the editor of these things. Pierluca, no, he's Italian. Pierluca Azzaro, I don't know. Anyway, he came up with the idea of going through some of the homilies, especially of Pope Benedict and Joseph Ratzinger, that have been unpublished, and arranging them by theme. And so it's a 7-book series. Each book's, you know, kind of a smallish book like this is 164 pages. But they're taking some of the little jewels, you know, that are in the great treasury of Ratzinger Benedict's writings and putting them forth thematically. So this one's on love. And it's basically homilies is given, and it's arranged by seasons, you know, Advent and then Christmas, Lent, and Easter, and then Ordinary Time. And, you know, I had the great blessing during my studies in Germany of hearing his homilies on a regular basis. And I remember saying to myself then, at the time, and this was 40 years ago or more, that I never heard him give a homily where I didn't learn something new. I mean, it was always, you know, like a wellspring of ideas and insights and beautiful spiritual reflections. And so to me, it's great going back to this little book and rereading some of the homilies that I might have heard at the time. and the seeing other ones that I didn't hear.
Yeah, that's so beautiful, Father. And the greatness of this is that somebody had the ability to go back and find these homilies. These can date back from like 1970 when he was still a professor of theology, correct?
That's right. That's right. And, you know, I mean, he is a doctor and father of the church. He'll be named that some centuries from hence, I believe. But it's what he writes is timeless, as they say. It's going to be valuable at any time. But it's also he's writing as someone, a contemporary of ours, who sees the world the same world we see, and has the same concerns. But he's lived a life of deep prayer, and he's so articulate and profound when he speaks that it really strikes home. At least to me, it does.
Yes, it is. It's not up on the level of a philosophical discourse that you're not going to be able to find some gem in any of these homilies. He talks about love, the quest of every human being on the journey toward eternity. Christianity is a movement, a journey, not a theory or sum total of doctrine. It's a life, a vital impetus that carries us towards true life. And he expounds on this theme of love in so many beautiful ways.
He does. I mean, he talks about God's love for us, you know, our love for God, our love for each other, and our love for creation. In fact, he's got a wonderful homily here on the blessing of a tractor. You know, in some place in Italy, he blessed the tractors, I guess, for the harvest or something.
Very, very common in Germany, no doubt, where he lived. Then he talks about this not as like something we should approach our religion as a series of doctrines or some kind of intellectual quest. I love how he talks about this is really a relationship with the Holy Trinity, and it's a journey that we're on, and we just need to somehow tap in to the fruits of that grace.
Yes, you talk about relationships, and his first major book is called Introduction to Christianity, and it's basically the lectures he gave back in 1967, I think, when he was Professor Tübingen. And it's a foundational book. It's a wonderful book. But I reread it a year or two ago, and I was struck by the fact of how much emphasis he puts on prepositions, that, you know, God is with us, and God is for us, and God is in us, and we are for others. And so it really struck me that the Trinity is basically what we call a subsisting relation. Father, Son, and Spirit are related to each other, and they're divine. They're one God. Sorry, that was an incoming call. On my
That's
phone.
Okay. You're a busy man. We appreciate your time, Father.
but yeah, and so it really kind of gave new life for me, that reflecting on human being, divine being, how we all are in relation to each other and to God and to the rest of creation. But so it illuminated that for me. But you're right. He does talk a lot about the importance of relation and relationship. And that's what love is all about. It's a relationship.
And weaves in there Mary's yes, and how she is a role model for us. That is constantly a theme that he points out. He also talks about Joseph's faith in this year of St. Joseph. You can find that in this book as well.
Yeah.
Maybe a controversial when God kneels down before us. So he does. He brings out this beautiful idea that, you know, giving ourselves in love is not restricting our freedom. It's finding it.
Yes, that's right. And you mentioned some of these homilies. And one good thing about this book is that they are homilies, and you can read one and reflect on it, and a couple of days later read another one. You don't have to read this book straight through, you know, like a tome of something, you know, that's deeply theological. This is theological, all right, but it's all expressed in very practical, accessible ways. And so it's just a nice little book to have on one's bookshelf or on one's bedstand.
Right.
or in the chapel to take it with the church and to let it be to nourish one's own contemplation and reflection.
Yes, absolutely. One of the things I wanted to ask you was how many of these homilies are still out there, and how many volumes do you hope to publish?
Well, there will be seven in this series. I think this is the third that we've done. There's one on the priesthood. I can't keep track.
That's okay. We can look it up on Ignatius Press. But so this is one of a series. And do you have any left to do?
Yes, we do, but I don't know what the top
is. Okay, all right. Well, that's good to know. I mean, I just know that these are keeping...
I should have prepared myself better for this.
No, Father, that's wonderful. No, I totally understand. And that's just good to know that we have more of these to dip into, and that Ignatius Press is like the sole source of our Ratzinger theology, that we can just keep going back and finding more of his writings here exclusively.
Yes, well, I think his collected works are now out in German. I think it's 16 large volumes.
Wow.
And we published volume 11, which is on the liturgy, because I believe that was kind of the central concern and love of his life, was the liturgy, and he wrote so beautifully on it. But we at least for now, we're not going to publish the other 15 volumes, because most of, you know, what is most important and most readable has been published by us in English. This little series we're doing now kind of covers some of the things that we haven't published yet. So I think we have a pretty good corpus for most ordinary, you know, intelligent, inquisitive Catholics who want to continue reading this wonderful, you know, theologian and spiritual writer. But for those who, you know, want to go more deeply and more extensively into his writing, well, you better learn German, you know. His German, by the way, surprisingly to me, it's very, very readable. We got a proposal maybe 10 years ago to do a book which had a lecture by Ratzinger and a lecture by Habermas. Habermas is sort of the recognized as the leading philosophical writer in Germany today. And they both gave lectures at the Bavarian Academy evening, same session, and so it was published as a little book in German. And so I got the book, and I started reading Habermas's talk, basically, and I said to myself, gosh, maybe I forgot my German. I don't understand a word he's saying. I mean, I can't put a sentence together here. And I was beginning to doubt whether my German abilities had, you know, declined so much that I couldn't read it anymore. Mm-hmm. Well, then I turned to Ratzinger's talk, and it was like reading English. I mean, it was just beautiful. Yeah. It flowed. It wasn't simplistic, but he has that gift that great geniuses have. Einstein had it, for example, of expressing some of the deepest and most complex thoughts in ways that are accessible to all. Especially, he uses, like C.S. Lewis did so often in Chesterton, too. I mean, he uses analogies and metaphors and similes and comparisons. And so it really is, it's nourishing. It's also a little bit maddening, Barbara, to think that, well, why can't I write like that? You know, why can't I say things as clearly as he does?
Yeah.
I remember, you know, listening to him. When he gave homilies, he was never reading a text, when I was there anyway. He would come up to the ambo, read the gospel, and he'd begin his homily, and looking at us and kind of looking above us a bit over our heads, and just giving his homily. But it was, I used to say, druckfähig. It's print ready.
Wow, yeah.
Druckfertig. He's ready to print. And whenever he was interviewed, like his books of interviews, he didn't write those things down. He was asked questions and he responded, but he was so present to himself, and his mind was so present to, you know, everything he knew, that he could just speak in very organized, clear, articulate way. And that's another thing. I mean, the German language allows for a great deal of intertwining and complexity of structure, because it's got still declensions, you know, of the nouns and so on.
Yeah.
And he was able to say things in a one big long sentence that kind of sums things up. In fact, I remember, Barbara, now I'm an old man, I'm starting to reminisce on things, but in his seminars, which were 2 hours long, he would listen to all of us students, and he'd even ask us questions, what do you think about this and that? And at the end of the seminar, in about 5 minutes, he would, in one or two sentences, sum up all the important things that were said in the seminar and arrange them in an organic, you know, in a connected way.
Wow.
It was just like watching a little, like a symphony being produced.
What a gift. Oh, my goodness. And to know that he will be declared a doctor of the church. Well, we've only begun to really synthesize his theology and his writings. It'll be great to have these as we go forward in the future and just sort of...
Oh, yes. And, you know, different folks have different gifts. And John Paul II was brilliant and a great philosopher. And he wrote powerful things and also some very wonderful, quite readable things. But I don't think he has the kind of cultural breadth and warmth of expression that Ratzinger has. And Pope Francis, he's not a writer, you know. I mean, he's sort of a off-the-cuff, extemporaneous type person.
Right.
But with Ratzinger Benedict, we have someone who I think his works will be like. He's like Augustine. He loved Augustine, of course, in Bonaventure.
Yeah. Yeah.
But he's like an Augustine who just writes so beautifully and so profoundly. So it's a great blessing for the church, and we're glad that we can kind of perpetuate it by publishing his works.
And for those of us who couldn't be there at his classes, we're at the feet of the master by reading his books. He is a professor. He's a teacher. So what a great gift we have in this. And again, the book is called On Love, Joseph Ratzinger Benedict XVI Selected Writings, part of a series put out by Ignatius Press. Father, before we leave, could you give us a blessing?
Happy to do that, Barbara. Heavenly Father, during this wonderful season of Lent, when you pour forth your blessings on all your people so abundantly, we ask you to particularly bless the Catholic Radio Apostolate, all those who work in it, all the listeners, and Benedictio Deo Benedis Patris, et Filii, et Spiritus Sancti, et Sanctus Vos, et Mania et Semper. Amen.
Amen.
All right. God bless you, Barbara. Bye-bye.
My dear friends in Christ, Jesus in the Gospel calls himself the light of the world, for he is both goodness and life of humanity. The brilliance is meant to enliven our hearts, to enliven our spirits, as well as to enlighten our minds. That is why the Christian, the newly baptized, the readings I did today were for those who are going to be receiving baptism, is given a candle lighted from the Paschal candle. And that is a symbolic of both Christ and his illuminating action. Very symbolic of our faith. Conversion is an ideal and an ultimate goal. The reality is rather gradual. When we're young, we don't think much about it. But yet the inner cure, like the prototype, the blind man in the gospel, he was a progress from a very simple allegiance, a very deepening faith, to complete conversion. Every Lent, he is proposed to us as a model for complete conversion in the faith. Now, we assume that our presence at Mass indicates that we possess at least a basic fidelity to Christ. We must also assume, you know what that means, assume that this initial faith is constantly challenged by an uncaring, a very cynical world, for the sudden departure of many from the Christian faith, from practices. It indicates that there is a problem and that there is a questioning of faith within our society. The belief of many, especially in the church today, has surely been subjected to many stresses in the past dozen years. I would say from 1992. Changes in practice tend to erode a sense of stability and an absoluteness about the organization of faith within our lives. We can tell. We didn't need a COVID virus. Empty pews in our churches are eloquent, silent witnesses of the crisis of our faith. The problem exists not only for those who left those vacant seats, but even more so for those of us who remain. We are in the second stage of Christ's enlightenment, namely challenge which can either deepen our faith or destroy it. We are aware that the cure of or enlightenment of faith is initially and basically of the mystery of God's supreme and infinite mercy towards all of us. Why did he choose me? Each of us must ask, why was I washed so readily in the pool of baptism by my parents? Perhaps, if we wanted more about this mystery, our hearts would well up with sentiments of awe and probably gratitude. Therefore, our faith would grow and our eyes would become clearer as the man born blind in the gospel. And even St. Paul today in Ephesians reminds us that we are the light of the Lord. We must live as children of light. We must think over the marvelous truths of our Christian faith. We should try to study them and deepen our understanding of those truths. And that will involve time. It will involve effort. It will involve reading, thinking, praying. Without these, our eyes will gradually, slowly dim, and we will lapse into darkness. With these, our whole being will become the light of the Lord. The candle, that light of the candle, must always be constantly fueled, or it will go out. The fruit of light is goodness. The fruit of light is justice. The fruit of light is truth. Three items that this world does not want anything to do with, just by passing laws and the programs that our Congress are passing. As we accept the challenge of faith in a faithful manner, and we seek to live that faith of ours, we experience a growth to live the qualities those qualities in ourselves of goodness, justice, truth. Our justice toward God will increase. Our intimate worship will deepen when we pray. And our goodness towards others, done in faith, will enlighten that way and more clearly unite us to Christ, who is the light of the world. As we press forward toward Easter and its celebration of the death and resurrection of Christ and ours with him, baptism was an initiation into this mystery and into the Christian life for all of us, for a further penetration into his light, which lights the world. May our effort in faith, aided by God's grace, prepare us to move clearly and to be ourselves as his followers, a light to all we meet.
I see the world your way, and I'm not afraid to follow. I see the world your way, and I'm not ashamed to say so. I see the Jesus way.